Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that's devoted to the fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who realize that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, even counterproductive, I'm Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. Scott, what do you think about people who are beneficiaries, let's use the a polite term, of the federal dole? They receive either food stamps, or they receive welfare, or they receive what's called the income tax credit, so that rather than paying income tax, they actually receive money from the government. It's the program to disguise the number of people that are actually on welfare. What do you think about them having smartphones with expensive monthly programs, having satellite television, and using the money to go to stuff like get more tattoos and buy alcohol?
Well, I think that one, I think that there should be a limit on what they have and what they can use that the money that they're getting on. I think.
Oh, but in our world, that would be cruel and unusual. That would be demeaning to those poor people. Who are we to dictate what they can spend our money on?
Well,
wait a minute, it's our money. It's our money.
I saw an article, and it's from the Washington Post, and Kansas wants to ban welfare recipients from seeing movies, going swimming, and other things on the government's dime.
Right.
And the story tries to paint this as, it kind of tries to paint it as being horrible, and that's why.
Yeah, they're so mean.
Oh yeah, there's nothing fun about being on welfare, and the new Kansas bill aims to keep it that way. If Health Bill 2258 is signed into law by Governor Sam Brownback, he's a Republican, this week in Kansas, families receiving government assistance will no longer be able to use those funds to visit swimming pools, see movies, go gambling, or get tattoos.
Go gambling or get tattoos. So yeah. It's okay with this journalist.
Oh, yeah.
You want to call this moron a journalist. For the for someone to receive money from the government because they can't work, they aren't working, they're just a lazy bum. It could be any one of those things. You know, can't work, are not interested in working, or just a lazy bum. They can't work. You know, I'm going to cut some slack for, but that's a tiny percentage of the whole. Even on unemployment benefits. That it's okay for them to spend those tattooing themselves. It's okay for them to spend that money gambling. How in the world can you be so messed up mentally, morally, that you think that's okay? You have an adoptive son, right, Scott?
Yeah, Neil.
What if you gave Neil a $500 this weekend and say, you know, Neil, you've just been so spectacular at school. You've been such a help around the house to your mom. I'm going to just show you how much I appreciate in a very tangible way. Here's $500. The only restriction on this is that I want you to spend it on something that is, would be considered useful within the family setup, something that the whole family can enjoy. So go find this on something you'd have fun doing that you can include the family in. So he's thinking on behalf of everybody, and if he says, you know, screw that. What I want to do is I want to get a tattoo. That's it. And the, beyond the tattoo, I want to gamble. What would you say?
Well, with Neil, it'd be he'd buy himself
a tough time doing both. He's a little young.
He'd buy a tablet and candy. That'd be his idea of $500 well spent.
Okay.
He'd buy a new tablet and then candy.
Yeah. Okay. You tell me how the tablet's going to help the rest of it be fun for the rest of the family, and how the candy would be beneficial. Is that, you know, I don't think I'm going to give you $500 anymore if you're going to go spend it on video games and candy.
Yeah, no, and Those are just a few of the restrictions contained within the measure that promises to tighten regulations on how poor families spend their government aid.
Isn't that lovely?
The state Senator Michael O'Donnell, a Wichita Republican who has advocated for the bill, said the legislation is designed to pressure those receiving temporary assistance for needy families to spend more responsibly.
There you go.
We're trying to make sure those benefits are used the way that they were intended. O'Donnell, vice chair of the state Senate Committee on Public Health and Welfare, told the Topeka Capital Journal. This is about prosperity. This is about having a great life.
Oh, great. You're having a great life. Listen, the fact of the matter is that if you are unwilling to work, you know, you are a lifetime welfare recipient. You're unwilling to work. Then the government ought to provide a bunkhouse where you've got a bed, access to bathrooms. They ought to make Goodwill-type clothing, you know, very inexpensive but serviceable clothing available. And they ought to have kitchens that the people themselves that want to avail themselves of these things have to work in, to do laundry, to do dishes, to do general housekeeping in these facilities. And they ought to be provided shelter. They ought to be provided clothing. They ought to be provided food. They ought to be provided absolutely zero in money.
Well,
nothing in money.
Here's
that's
some
the
more.
Problem. And I don't even have a problem with the government working with transportation, with buses and with taxi companies to provide vouchers for them to go and run errands and for that are, you know, part of what's necessary for their family and for them to receive medical care as well as for them to go interview for jobs. I've got no problem extending vouchers for those things. But when you give money, what you do is destroy everything. They think that they're entitled to get a tattoo, gamble, and go to movies on money that was given by people who earned it.
Let me go through this list here of other things that it's going to limit the spending on, and let me finish the list before you come in, because I know where you're going to come in, and I know, just let me finish it first.
All right.
You know, he said this is about having a great life. That, according to the legislation, means limiting spending on body piercing, massages, spas, tobacco, nail salons, lingerie, arcades, cruise ships, visits to psychics. The bill also limits them to taking only 25 per day from ATMs. It also forbids recipients from spending money at theme parks, dog or horse racing facilities, paramutual facility, or sexually oriented business, or any retail establishment which provides adult-oriented entertainment in which performance is for open perform in an unclosed state for entertainment, or in any business or retail establishment where minors under the age of 18 are not permitted.
Where was the good part where I was going to react to the bad part, and then you wanted to finish to get to the good part.
Well, no, I just wanted to finish the whole.
What part of that's inappropriate?
No, none of that's inappropriate. But
All of it's inappropriate for them to spend on. None of it's inappropriate, and it should be a national. In fact, it never should have been allowed from day one.
No, it shouldn't have.
No. And you know why they don't have any restrictions on the spending, and why a huge percentage of government handouts are spent on those kinds of things? You know why? There's no restrictions. Because the whole purpose of redistributing wealth is to establish politicians such that the majority receives something from them, and therefore they vote them into office. And so politicians have realized that even if they bankrupt future generations, they can force those who are productive, who are the minority of society, you know, in this country, you know, about 20% pays about 90% of the bills for government. But that 20% isn't sufficient to block them being reelected or to reelect a competitor. So they realize that if they give something without any strings as a charity to the majority will reelect them, and they will have perpetual national office standing in politics by doing this. Now, the problem is, of course, that when you redistribute wealth like this, you don't create prosperity. You don't create a good life. You destroy everybody.
Well,
you diminish the productivity of those who were productive, and you destroy the character of those who chose not to work.
Here's another quote in the article here. I just think we are simply saying to people, if you are asking for assistance in the state, you're sort of less than other people, and we're going to tell you how and where to spend your money. Representative Carol Bridges, a Wichita Democrat, said during the House's debate.
It's not your money, political, B-I-T-C-H. It ain't your money. It isn't their money. It's our money. It isn't your money as the politician. It isn't the recipient's money. It's our money. And when did our rights of deciding how our money is spent go out the window? Wow. Talk about a world upside down. You want to know why it's impossible to fix America? That's why.
The measure is
she
passed.
Thinks it's their money. It's not their money. It's our money. Not even the political idiot's money.
Well, you know, when I got this story, I specifically went to a piece that took the side opposed to me, because I thought this was the most absurd way to present it. So, the measure was passed by the Kansas House and Senate last week, and it's widely supported by Republicans who control both legislative chambers, according to the AP. Brown PAC is expected to sign the bill. Although the governor plans to review the measure carefully.
While this is a step away from insanity, and what we're doing currently is insane, thanks to liberal Democrats. And, you know, I'm apolitical. I don't like either party. But in situations like this, it's impossible to be neutral. In this situation, the Republicans are doing something that is sane. The Democrats are sponsoring that which is insane. The Democrats are sponsoring that which is absolutely lethal and irrecoverable for the individuals and for the country as a whole. Creating a dependency state, which is what they want. If individuals become more and more dependent upon them, then liberal politicians will continue to prevail until the entire edifice crashes. They're short-sighted. They're irrational, they're immoral, and yet they claim the compassionate and moral ground, when in fact they are exactly the opposite. So this is quite a story, Scott, and you know my position. My position is don't give money. Provide comfort, provide services, and services that they jointly participate in. Politicians who are in favor of taking your and my money and giving it to those who have chosen not to work, who don't want to work, so they can spend it on adult entertainment, so they can spend it on gambling, so they can spend it on tattoos and a whole host of other unproductive things.
The one that got me was the cruises.
I've
never been on a cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. When you just listen to it, it does nothing but piss you off. It's not just that they want to be perceived as compassionate in giving people this money, which, by the way, is not theirs to give. But beyond that, what it does is it makes the recipients dependent. And that's really bad, because all we care about here, I know it's true for me, and I suspect it is for you, that I only do this program because I want people to realize that God is real, that his name is Yahweh. He is the antithesis of the God that is presented in the religions of Christianity, Rabbinic Judaism, and Islam, that he absolutely can be known to the thinking agnostic who is into evidence and reason, and that he makes sense, that he's trustworthy. And the first requirement that he has for engaging in a relationship with him, for even approaching the door to his home, what's that? What is the prerequisite for getting to know him and for approaching the doorway to his home?
Well, you got to walk away from your country and your
there you go,
your country and your family.
Right. Yeah, in fact, it's both. Yeah, it's the human family or societal customs. But the first is walk away from your country. How are these people going to walk away from their country when they become wholly dependent on their country? Their country is supplying them their food, their shelter, their entertainment, their distractions. The country is the sole entity upon whom they are dependent. How do you walk away from that once you become dependent upon them? It's the antithesis of what Yahweh wanted. Now, we've talked in the past. I'm not much for finding people that I respect. You know, in terms of people, outside of the covenant family, you know, IQ Al-Rasuli may be the only individual that I routinely respect outside of the covenant family. But there is one individual who I resolutely respect. Yahweh. He had a plan. I really like his plan. In fact, I don't think his plan is significantly different from my own, the one that I'm articulating to you, except for one aspect. His plan is that those who are productive, if you're growing crops, you leave a corner of your field unharvested. So those who are hungry can go actually harvest it. They actually have to harvest the food, prepare the food for processing, cook the food, serve it, and then, of course, clean up their dishes. They've got to engage in the process, but the food is made available. He has a storehouse. In the storehouse, there are two things that were constantly listed in the storehouse. One of those two things was wood, which is what you would use to build a shelter and build a fire for cooking. The second is wool, which you'd weave into clothing. But you see, in Yah's plan, you're given the materials, but you've got to engage to build the shelter. You've got to maintain your shelter. You're given the fabric, if you're with the wool, but you've got to weave it into fabric, and then you've got to make it into clothing. And so the only difference between that and participatory help, which is the government provide bunkhouses, the government provide food kitchens. The government provide clothing. Is that I want, and I where I want the participants to work to clean and maintain the bunkhouses, to do the dishes and work in the kitchen, in the food kitchens, and to contribute labor to the process of distributing and receiving mending and even cleaning the clothes, laundering the clothes.
Hey,
pretty similar, right?
Very similar.
Yahweh has them more involved than I do, but still, that's what needs to be done. We need to stop having the government hand out money, which is, you know, three-quarters of what the government does.
I don't want to just do things for people. The only people I have to do things that I should have to do things for are myself, Robin, and Neil.
That's it.
Because I've decided to take
care
of
those. You
want
to do things for them. That's the whole focus of family.
Right? Yeah. So,
but outside of that, you ought not be doing things for people. They ought to be able to do some things for themselves, don't you think? We'll be back with Shattering Mist after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about what is and isn't appropriate. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I have a good friend, someone I've really grown to respect, whose company I enjoy, that I communicate with, you know, maybe three or four times a week via email. And while he has revealed his whole past on the Yada Yada radio program. Just for the most part, let's just leave the individuals anonymous for this morning. He helped change my view of what a country ought to do. I'm not sure to even change it, but at least caused me to be far more receptive and open to the realization that there are some people who, for no fault of their own, occasionally find themselves dependent. My friend is one of those. he ran afoul of what is pervasive today, which is that most people in business today are immoral. At very best, amoral, but most immoral. And an employee in a business took advantage of him. And then someone else took advantage of him in another way, and he lost his car. He ultimately lost his home. He lost his job, all to no fault of his own, and found himself homeless. And the gut-wrenching story of trying to find shelters for he and his wife, and of the long, long, I mean, many, many miles that they would have to walk because they couldn't afford the bus, to find food kitchens and sources of food and a place to sleep, realizing that for the most part they couldn't even sleep in the same shelter. And they were not drug users. They were not alcoholics, you know, that you think of homeless people, you know, making bad choices and being there because of the choices they made. It had nothing to do with them. And yet, society, we, did far too little. And so my view is really back to the one individual's view that I've always respected, Yahweh's. My friend and his wife were absolutely willing to work, desirous of working, wanting to work. And they gladly would have worked in a shelter for the ability to stay there as husband and wife. They would have gladly worked in the soup kitchen and the food bank for the opportunity to eat. Gladly would have worked. And manufacturing and cleaning clothes for that opportunity.
And I think there are those people out there, and those are the people that I mean, I have no. I'm not trying to say that I'm not willing to help people or in things like that. But if I'm helping you, like you
only
said,
help
if I'm
those
giving somebody
willing to help themselves,
you got to do something. You got to do something for yourself.
I think society ought to have two categories. Those who are willing to work for benefits. So they're willing to work for shelter, they're willing to work for food, they're willing to work for clothing. That they ought to be given access to, a very clean, well-presented. When I talk about bunkhouse, I'm talking about college dorm caliber, where a husband and wife can stay together. They have their own space. There's a communal bathroom that is down the hall, and that it is it's the same as what a college student would live in. I think for that they donate a certain number of hours to its maintenance, and that. The food kitchens ought to be somewhat similar to a college or military-type cafeteria for which they contribute labor. And they ought to be prevalent so that people can benefit from them, and that nobody should have to walk miles for shelter, miles for food, or ever have to sleep on the street that is willing to work. But they ought not be given money.
Well,
but I have no problem with them being given vouchers for buses and cabs to pursue work. But there's a second category of people, those who can't work. My younger brother's mentally handicapped. He tries to work in a work program, and in those work programs, he is employed. It's not that he doesn't want to work. What he can contribute is fairly minimal. And those who are physically or mentally incapacitated in such a way that they cannot work, we ought to embrace. We really ought to provide for. Now, again, it's not money.
And I 100% guarantee with what you're saying. And the two groups that you described to me,
yeah.
I don't have to tell them that they shouldn't spend what I give them on body piercing, right, massages, spas, tobaccos, nail salons, lingerie, arcades, cruise ships, or visits to psychics. I mean,
right.
I don't have
I
to
will
tell
guarantee
them
you, my friend, who's actually our friend, this individual, had no inclination whatsoever to squander whatever he had on any of those things. He was just looking for a dry, warm bed to sleep in and the ability to be together with his wife and to find something they could eat the next day while looking for a job. Those are the kind of people we're not doing enough for. And then we're coddling and destroying the character of those who are just entitled. I mean, they've got their car, they've got their fancy cell phone with all the advanced plan, they've got their cable TV, they've got their cupboards filled with alcohol, because while you can't buy alcohol with a government food stamp voucher, you can buy everything else, including steaks, with it, and then go to the ATM and check money out and with your welfare, and then buy it with that. They're tattooed from many of them from ankle to neck. Now, if you want to tattoo yourself, that's fine, but with your money, not with mine.
Exactly. And
to gamble, that's your call, but with your money, not mine.
Exactly. And it's supposed to be assistance. It's not assistance in whatever depravity you want to do in your life. I mean, whatever people want to do, go do it. I'm fine with it. But
you know why
there were so many
depraved, immoral things on that list? It's because individuals that you give something to that have not worked to earn it come over time to dislike themselves, to disrespect themselves. And they are looking for any distraction, any escape from reality, because their reality, rather than being enjoyable, becomes miserable. This Republican plan, which isn't ideal, but it's vastly better than what currently exists, has people focus on that which is productive and away from that which is destructive. But people who get something for nothing are ultimately destroying themselves, and they engage in destructive behavior. That's where we find ourselves. This is a marvelous story. This was Kansas, right? Scott?
Yes, this is in Kansas. This is the.
And so the Kansas legislature did something that moves us in the right direction. What do you think the likelihood of that passing in California, where the average welfare recipient receives the equivalent of $21 for a 40-hour work week for doing nothing?
Zero. The same with here in Minnesota. Zero.
In fact, if you look at all the Minnesota programs together for housing assistance, food assistance, welfare assistance, at all, you end up at about
$2,500
a month. Which in Minnesota goes a long way.
Yeah. Well, $2,500 to do
nothing.
To do nothing.
No, you got to worry about your tattoos, your gambling, and your adult entertainment.
And of that $2,500, $1,600 could go into your rent.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, a $1,600 a month house, whatever you
right.
if you're in a house
in Minnesota.
An apartment.
Yeah, and you know, if you're talking here on the left coast or New York City, that ain't going to go very far.
No.
But if you're talking Minnesota, the Midwest, every part of America other than the extreme coasts, going to go a long way.
Yeah, and you're living in a nice place.
Right, and who are you dependent upon?
On me, who's not living in that nice
place.
Yeah,
the government. Yeah, because it's the government stealing your money and giving it to them. And who does Yahweh want us dependent upon?
Him.
Is Yahweh willing to have us dependent on him and the government?
No.
No.
No, it's because it's the requirement.
No. Now, there are individuals who receive government benefits who are not dependent on government in the sense of they don't look at government as their caretaker, their protector. They don't look at government as their savior. They don't look at government as a moral guide. They actually are disgusted by everything the government does. But they receive some of what they contributed, for example, in Social Security back or some disability payment. Because, you know, I'm a huge proponent of us dealing with legitimate disabilities and giving people opportunity. I don't even have I'm even a big fan of, you know, providing those that really want to learn and advance their skill set, providing them access to education. So that doesn't make you dependent on government. If you recognize that what government is doing is wrong, and you're just receiving the disability that you're entitled to. But, oh my goodness, are we ever in a mess. And there's really no way to solve that.
No.
It's just a moral breakdown, a moral meltdown of the country, where it's considered compassionate to destroy the character of others and make them dependent.
And they're only passionate because they want the vote.
Correct.
They're not passionate because, again,
the belief system.
Passionate means that you're helping somebody because you want to help them. But
if you're compassionate, you're going to see somebody who is not begging, but is
down on their luck. Let me help.
Yeah, somebody that's just down on their luck, and you see them. They're not begging, but they're. You can just watch them and say, you know, that person needs my help. And you give them $100, or you say, come here, I'm going to provide you with a meal. I have some clothes; they look like they fit you, and provide them. You're giving something of yourself. Welcome back to Shattering This. I would love for those who disagree, who think that a compassionate society is a society that takes from those who are productive and gives to those who are not, that like the communist mantra of from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, that prefers that kind of country. Love to hear from you. Try to explain why you think that it is appropriate, why you think that that will prevail. Every country that has attempted it has failed. There is really only one large experiment in what used to be communism, and that would be China. The government is communist, but the economy is free enterprise. They switched to a free enterprise economy about 2 decades ago. You have North Korea. Boy, that's a hellish place to live, that is still fully communist. The Soviet Union was communist and was able only to put together a kind of a large illusion of military power. Economically, they were really weak. And they switched to it's a fascist form of government, but with a fair amount of free enterprise, and they have prospered. But while they were communist, very few Americans traveled through the Soviet Union when they were communist. I did. And most of the Soviet Union was a third world country. And the parts that weren't third world were at best second world. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, in the South, for example, the areas like the Ukraine, but also the Caucasus region of Russia into throughout the vast Siberian East, a huge percentage of cities, towns that I visited had a central well, a pump well in the middle. They had public latrines. The streets were dirt. The buildings were all falling apart. Communism, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, doesn't work. When Yahweh expelled Adam and Chawa from the garden, what he said is that child rearing for the woman is going to be painful. You're going to, it's, there are aspects of raising children that are going to require you to suffer here and there. You know, it's, but you know, when you contribute something that is in the short term painful for the long term good of the family and child, there's a real sense of value, of accomplishment, of merit, of satisfaction. And he told the man, you're going to toil. You're going to work. It's important that you understand the value of work. These things weren't punishments. They were actually a means to say, you know, you're going to have to sacrifice, Mom, in raising your family. And Dad, you're going to have to work to support your family. It's important that you understand these concepts so that you appreciate what God is offering, what He's giving, what He's willing to do for us. And it's also important because if we're not willing to work, we're never going to know Him. While Yahweh wants us to be dependent upon Him, He still wants us engaged. His economic policy, for example, the wood, the fleece, the food, is exactly the same as His Torah strategy. It's there. But you've got to work to get to know Him. You have to work to understand what He's offering. You've got to be willing to engage in the process. Kirk will be with us when we return to Shattering Mist. But I'd like, Kirk, before we return to circumcision, to get your view on these things and determine whether or not you think it's appropriate what Yahweh did and said to Adam and Chawa. And if that relates to what it is that we must do if we wish to understand, which is to make an effort to engage, to work.